Romans 13. In a moment, we're going to stand, and I'd like to read to you two verses. Romans chapter 13, and the verse will be 11 and verse 12. And so when you all find Romans chapter 13, would you all stand, please? And I'd like to read this passage to you. At the known the time, that not as high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Our dear Father, tonight we thank you for those who are here. And I do pray, Father, for the blessed Holy Spirit to be our teacher. Help us realize how frail we are, Lord, and without Christ, we can do nothing. I pray, Father, for your blessing, and may Jesus Christ be honored. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. As I travel across our country, my congregation, I do not know it all. I don't ever want to act like I know it all. But as far as I'm concerned, what I'm seeing across America, I'm seeing there's such a spiritual indifference on the part of so many of God's people. I know you're aware this has always been a major problem, even in Bible times. 2 Timothy 4:10 says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Proverbs 14:14 says, "The backslider in heart should be filled with his own ways." In Revelation 2 and verse 4, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." And the night, many are like Demas. They've gone after the world. Others are filled with their own ways. And as Christ said, they've left the first love. And since that is so, congregation, there is a need of a genuine working of God in the midst of his people. Nothing put on, nothing worked up, but a deep moving of God's Spirit in the life of God's people. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And I believe tonight there are several crucial areas that God needs to awaken his people to. And the first area, God must awaken his people to the indifference of praying. In Mark 1:35, we read of Jesus Christ. "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went up into a solitary place and there prayed." Would you observe? The Bible says Christ got alone and he prayed. The Bible tells us in Matthew 6 and verse 6, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter and the light closet, and while shut thy door, pray that thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." He wants us to get alone and then call upon his name. Jeremiah 33:3, God says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray." Psalm 81:10, God said, "Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it." Here God challenges you, admonishes you, to bring your need to him. And if I asked you, did you all pray today? Well, no doubt many of you say, "Well, yes, I did, Brother Jerry," and I would never question that. But I tell you what, it seemed like the average child of God has put the handcuff of doubt and the handcuff of unbelief on the hands of a holy God who stands ready to meet our needs. How do I know that? Listen what the Word of God tells you. Matthew 7:7, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Mark 11:24, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Matthew 21:22, "In all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive." James 5:16, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. John 14:14, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 16:24, ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Proverbs 15:8, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Psalm 65:2, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Look here, congregation. One of the great things that could come out of this meeting is God awakening our lives to a vibrant, earnest prayer life. But second of all, I believe he must awaken us of the inconsistency of our living. Look at verse 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Now stop right there. God wants us to cast off the works of darkness. He must awaken us of the inconsistency in our living. Romans 8:29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Look here, congregation. God wants my life conformed to the image of his Son. And he wants your life conformed to the image of his Son. He does not want our lives conformed to this world. Oh no. The Bible says in Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world. 1 John 2:17 says, and the world passeth away and the lust thereof. Look, he does not want our lives conformed to the world's philosophies, the world's ideals, the world's music, the world's standards, and the world's speech. No, he wants our lives conformed to Jesus Christ. May I be bold to say this to you. God is more concerned that my life be conformed to Christ than I'd be a well-known evangelist. And he's more concerned your life be conformed to Christ than you be success in any walk of life. On my dad's tombstone in West Virginia is Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And my friend tonight, I'm telling you something. God needs to awaken us of this inconsistency. Many years ago, my wife and I were going down the road, and my daughter Jennifer, at the time, was only 16 years of age, and we're going down the road, and all of a sudden, a guy pulled right in front of me. And you know what? My reaction is like the reaction of a lot of you people. When that guy did that, I was so infuriated because he almost wrecked me. And I said, and I mean, I really said it strong. I said, can you believe what that guy just did? He about hit us. My daughter, Jennifer, in the back seat said, oh, Dad. Oh, Dad. I said, yeah, Jennifer, what is it, honey? She said, Dad, your halo is slipping. Look at me, honestly, when she said that, I mean, you could not have put a dagger deeper in my heart. And I literally did this. I said, just a moment, Jennifer. And I went like this, trying to straighten it back out again. But sometimes our halo not only slips, it goes rolling down the road, doesn't it, congregation? People watching me and people watching you, child of God. We've got to be aware of the fact of this inconsistency. In Psalm 139, the Word of God says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And child of God, you and I got to be willing for God to put his spotlight upon our lives and awaken us of this inconsistent living. But third of all, he must awaken us of the ineffectiveness in our witnessing. Look back at verse 12. The night is far spent, the day's at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. putting on the armor of light. You know what? We are to be the light for our Savior. We are the ones that God wants to shine before people in this dark and ungodly world. But why are we so ineffective? Well, Matthew chapter 17, one day, the disciples tried to heal a man who was a lunatic, and they could not heal the man. And so Jesus came, and our Savior healed that lunatic. And the disciples then asked Christ this question. They said, "Lord, why couldn't we help this man?" And our loving Savior said in Matthew 17:21, "Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." I'm going to tell you folks something tonight. There are some things you will never, never see God do in your life until you are willing to pay the cost. "Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." Many years ago, when I first got saved, I don't know why God burdened my heart, but I was only 17 years of age. I had no intention of going to college. I was working at the newspaper company as a typist. And I was going to a wonderful, fundamental, independent Baptist church pastored by Pastor Doug Rutherford. And under the preaching of that man of God, God began to stir my heart. And although I stuttered and had all these problems, would never speak publicly, and I never would speak publicly, I walked up to a coal miner one day, 15 years older than me, Brother Summers. And I said, "Brother Summers, I'd like to ask you a question." He said, "What is it?" I said, "Would you go soul winning with me for 2 weeks?" He said, "I'll go." I said, "No, I can't speak, but," I said, would you do the talking?" "Yes." And you know what? But God began to work to my heart in that week because of that. And so we're going down the road, and I took a house. I witnessed to a person. I messed everything up, but I did witness to a person, you know, because I was so stirred when I saw what God was doing. And during the second week, we're going down the road, and finally, we're going by a house, and I screamed at him. I said, "Stop the car right here." And he did, and I jumped out. He said, "What?" I said, "I don't know. I feel, well, we've got to go and talk to those people right there." And I ran to the house, and I knocked on the door. A lady answered, and I said to her, "My name is Jerry. This is Dot Summers. We're from the Fellowship Baptist Church." She began to weep. I mean, in convulsions. I never saw anyone weep like this in my life. Well, the lady is almost out of control. And so I looked at Dot Summers, and he goes, I'm only 17 years of age. What am I going to do with a crying lady? What am I supposed to say? I didn't know what to say. So all I did was this. I said, "Ma'am, can I come in your house and take the Bible and show you how Jesus can save you?" And she said, "Yes." I took the Bible, went in her house. I sat down beside Mrs. Mildred Clausen. And I showed Mrs. Clausen how Christ could save her. I said, "Mrs. Clausen, would you like for Christ to save you?" And she began to weep again, said, "Yes." And she fell on her knees and she prayed and she asked Christ to save her. And when we stood up, I'll never forget this. As we stood up, she looked at me and she said, "Jerry, as you were knocking on my door, I was already walking downstairs to commit suicide." She had the suicide note written to her husband, Tom. She had the glass of poison already poured. And she said, "When you said you were from a Baptist church, I knew God sent you. And here I am." Didn't say one word out loud. God's my witness, I didn't say one word out loud. I looked at Mrs. Clausen, and in my heart, this is exactly what I said. I said, "Dear Lord, if that lady right there was ready to commit suicide, and you use me and Dot," I said, "Dear God, there must be people all across America waiting for someone to come and tell them about Jesus Christ." And then I thought my heart was going to burst, because in my heart I screamed, and I said, "Dear God, I am willing to be that man." And I'm in your pulpit tonight, congregation, because I paid a small cost. I went soul winning every day for 2 weeks, working all day long, a full-time job, the rest of the time, soul winning. A small cost. You know what? You don't see things like that happen when you're in your comfort zone. When you as an individual have lost sight of the fact of who the Savior is and who they are and why you are here. And congregation, tonight, we need to realize the great truth of God stirring the inner man. Nothing put on, but a deep working by God's Spirit through the power of the Word to make us see the need of an awakening in our lives. However, if you're unsaved, my friend, of all those in this room, you are the person most of all who needs to be awakened. You know what? I had a wicked, ungodly grandfather. He shook his fist in God's face. He cursed God in Russian, as I told you this morning. And when he was dying, my mother and dad said he was screaming and crying and shaking all over as he took his last breath as a drunkard in Fairmont, West Virginia. And may I make this observation tonight if you're unsaved? Sir or lady, you could be bold and you can be brave. However, when death faces you and you are not ready, you will struggle like an insect caught in a spider's web. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:31, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. And you've got to be awakened of your need of Christ. And my friend, when you realize He's the one who died for you, shed His blood on the cross of Calvary for our sins, and arose from the grave, and you can come to Him, and He could save you. My friend, that's the greatest awakening you'll ever have in your entire life. Let's bow our heads and pray, please. Before I do pray, I'm going to have our pianist play a song of Softly and Tenderly. I don't think we're going to have any singing tonight, brother, but I'd like to have Softly and Tenderly, if you play that for us, dear lady. And while she's getting ready, with her heads bowed and her eyes closed, maybe you're here tonight and you say, you know, Jerry, I'm not saved. I have never been awakened of my need of Christ. I have never in my life allowed anyone to take the Holy Bible and point me to Jesus Christ. I have never had that happen. And I recognize tonight that I need Christ as my Savior. Well, in a moment, we'll give you the opportunity to step out where you are and come down here to pastor. And let someone take the Word of God and show you how Christ can save you. You need to step out the night and come to Him if you don't know Christ as your Savior. I don't want you raising your hand. In a moment, I'm going to ask you just to step out where you are and come down here. Indicate to God you want to find how Christ can save you. And likewise, Christians, I'm going to have you raise your hand. I'm going to say this to you with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. What is the Lord trying to awaken you to tonight without me going through the whole message again? The Spirit of God is the one who applies the truth to our lives. We've got to get out of our comfort zone. We've got to deal with issues in our life that we're inconsistent about. We've got to realize this matter of seeking God's face in prayer, a vibrant prayer life. Dear Father, we don't know what you're going to do tonight in this meeting. I pray, Father, you take the power of your wonderful word. May the Holy Spirit do its wonderful work. May someone come to Christ. May some Christian, Lord, respond to the truth of the Word of God and humble themselves. As you tell us in Proverbs or Psalms, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And so, Lord, help us this evening to see the Spirit of God do His work in our midst, we ask in Christ's name.